Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Backcountry in Des Moines, a boutique that believes, as Twain said, travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. Located at 2702 Beaver Avenue, Backcountry curates clothing and gear for people who travel in mind now and in person soon.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Of course, we continue to report on and discuss the wave of protests and unrest across Iowa and the country over state violence against ethnic and racial minorities. And it's against this backdrop of this second national crisis layered on top of our first COVID crisis that we want to focus on businesses in Iowa this hour. Businesses opening up again during this COVID pandemic. Well, here's a sign of the times. When I reached out yesterday evening to a business owner I know in Iowa City to ask him to take part in today's show about COVID, here's his response. Ben, I'll let you know in the morning. We have been alerted of high possibility of looting in downtown Iowa City tonight. So just going to try and get some sleep and hopefully all okay in the morning. Well, I think all okay in the morning is how it turned out. This is the summer of 2020. Times in which we live, the times in which businesses are trying to survive, and we all are trying to get back to a new, safe normal. Now, more COVID-19 restrictions were lifted here in Iowa yesterday in accordance with orders issued over the past 2 weeks by Governor Reynolds. This hour, we want to hear from business owners whose those who are working at newly reopened businesses, and of course, from customers. Are you a business owner who's reopening? Tell us how the pandemic has changed the way you operate. Customers to businesses, what are you seeing? What is your experience? How are the businesses you frequent protecting customers and themselves from the coronavirus? Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. You can also email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. In just a moment, we'll be joined by Jane Armstrong of the U.S. Small Business Association. But first, let's talk with Dr. David Krupp. He's an emergency physician from Iowa City. One of the organizers of something called Mask of Wellness. It's a movement which aims to promote COVID-conscious business. And he's joining us now by phone, Dr. Krupp. So good that you could join us. Thank you for coming.
I appreciate you having me on.
Explain a little bit more. What is Mask of Wellness? What is COVID-conscious business?
Indeed. And so Mask of Wellness is something that was started by myself and a small group of volunteers to try and bring about some change in society through promoting COVID-conscious businesses. And so, you know, as an emergency physician of 20 years, I was seeing that the wellness is being impacted not just physically through the disease, but the social ramifications, the emotional ramifications, and economic ramifications. And patients I'd see in the emergency department, seeing that wellness is profoundly affected, so started trying to bring about ways to bring about change to try and initially get people to wear masks. And realize if we can bring together businesses and the consumer and be wise in the process. So basically, Mask of Wellness is a movement to promote COVID-conscious businesses for free with a positive, empowered method to improve the health and the wealth of communities with three basic impactful measures. And so these measures just include if all employees would wear masks to decrease the spread, as we know it's through droplets primarily. And also, if the business would then attest that they're attending to their personal hygiene, surface hygiene, and attending to distancing hygiene, the 6 feet if they're able to. And lastly, if they have a daily health certification, just ensure that their employees are not sick that day with having a daily login sheet. And realize through just these three simple, impactful measures, we can change the curve. And knowing that consumers have fear and they're hesitant to go to businesses, so I've determined that we, in my group of volunteers, we determined that consumers will seek out COVID-conscious businesses and in turn help the health, the wealth, and the wellness of individuals and businesses in all of our communities.
Mm-hmm. So the point there you made. So this is a selling point for any sort of business, you're saying, in addition to the selling points that previously existed there. This is a new one.
Yes, you know, so many businesses were not necessarily attending to these simple, impactful measures. And I've been in turn seeing the disease as people are going to work sick. they weren't wearing masks, and we are finding more and more that this disease is spread through droplets, and just simple masks or, you know, concept can be shields also. It's controversial as to what's the best, but masks are supported by the CDC as a way to prevent spread through source control.
Okay, so what reaction have you had to this? This is a fairly recently started movement, I guess. How old is it?
Oh, we started in a soft fashion on May 1st and went around to a few businesses to let them know about this movement and our dream of how to bring about change and help the consumer and help the businesses out at the same time to improve wellness all around.
Mm-hmm. So, what has been the reaction?
Yeah, oh, very positive in many regards. And so we're starting to see just an organic spread of this concept amongst businesses here in the Iowa City area, as well as it's starting to just pop up in other states without us really taking any action. We're getting ready to start out more of a national campaign and push this idea out to the different chambers of commerce, the different professional organizations that exist out there to try and just bring about awareness, because there's so many areas that are still, and so many businesses that are not wearing masks or taking these simple measures that can decrease the spread of this disease. Mm-hmm. And we're finding more and more that we can change this curve and change the direction of this pandemic with simple measures such as masks. And ideally, if they were to wear shields with masks to protect themselves as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But on that third point, elaborate on that. Daily health self-certification. What is involved there? What are you asking businesses to do?
Indeed. And so started noticing that there was people going to work sick. And so in turn, they're becoming super spreaders. They might infect the patrons or they might infect their coworkers. And sometimes one person can infect 20, 30 people depending on the work environment. So each day that you come to work, you have to sign in a log stating that you don't have any of the symptoms that are typically associated with COVID, and ideally take the temperature at the same time, because there's numerous individuals that are sent home if they have fever, yet they'll try and go to work, sometimes out of necessity, sometimes are also concerned that they might be fired if they don't go to work. And so at the same time, the business has to be respectful of trying to decrease the spread and allow these individuals who might be ill to stay home without negative ramifications.
Dr. David Krupp is with us this hour, emergency physician from Iowa City, one of the organizers of Mask of Wellness. It's a movement to promote what he's calling COVID-conscious businesses in order to improve health and the wealth, because when the businesses thrive, of course, your community creates wealth. We want to get back to that position that we've had of a strong economy in our communities across the nation. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. Also joining us now, Jane Armstrong. Jane is Iowa District Director for the U.S. Small Business Association. Welcome back to our program, Jane.
Thank you for having me.
So, as I mentioned at the outset, we have more businesses opening here in Iowa. What are you hearing, and what are your messages at this important time for small businesses?
Well, it's hard. I mean, this 2020 has been a tough year for small business in America, no doubt about it. Just as businesses are getting started with some of the protests that are happening and impacting a lot of the downtown business communities, it's been very difficult. I know Saturday night I was watching some of the protests in downtown Des Moines and was back and forth on social media with some of the business owners that were watching their businesses as well. So it's been a tough year. A lot of businesses are either starting to open, doing soft openings, or preparing to open, or they're easing into it. They've all had to kind of pivot throughout the past 2 months and kind of planning what the new normal is going to look like. If you're a restaurant owner, you know, the new layouts, because you're not going to have as many people in the restaurant at one time. I know there's some different businesses that have taken the opportunity, the downtime, to develop an online presence so that they have an additional revenue stream. And so there's just been a lot of activity going on. And we're also, you know, there's just so much happening right now for small businesses, but it's everybody's kind of taken a step back and have been real involved in the planning process for what the new normal will be.
Okay. Jane Armstrong of the U.S. Small Business Association. Jane, hang on. Let's go to some of our small business owners who are joining us today. 1-866-780-9100. Jack is with us from Iowa City. Hi, Jack. Welcome to our program. Identify your businesses, please, if you would.
Well, thanks for having me on, Ben. I'm a part owner of Jimmy Jack's Rib Shack in Iowa City and in North Liberty. And then we also, I'm part owner of Basta Pizzeria Restaurante in downtown Iowa City.
Mm-hmm. Tell us how you've adapted. When have you reopened? Did you reopen yesterday as well on the 1st?
We, with Jimmy Jack's, we adjusted. We went to curbside pickup. We did what your guest earlier said. We started making sure, creating the safest environment we could. And what your guest just talked about, created an online presence. So people could order online or call in, and we did curbside. Mm-hmm. And at Jimmy Jack's, we're opening just the patio. So people can do that, and they're dining. They can come in, and then we have them dining on our patio. Basta, we're moving a little more slowly. That'll actually open this Thursday, and it's going to be limited hours, from 11 to 9 and open 11 to, or pardon me, Thursday through Sunday.
Right.
So
besides,
we're just moving a little more cautiously.
Mm-hmm. Jack, let me ask you before I let you go. Besides what I have to believe are many sleepless nights or near sleepless nights, what have been the biggest challenges through this whole ordeal so far as a business owner?
Well, as your guess, we want to keep our team safe and everybody else safe, but what has been amazing is this community, and we're very, very fortunate, is when the guest just thanks you for being open. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think us giving them some sort of normalty is the net, but it's just the stress that you're doing the right thing, you know, and that you're doing everything you can to keep your team and everybody else safe. I think that's, we're just doing our best.
Right. As Jane just mentioned there, the big question is, how does this reshape things in the long term? What is your guess? I mean, it's a crystal ball out there for anybody, but go ahead.
I use that analogy. I was talking to another business owner. I go, if you've got the crystal ball, let me know. and anybody in this industry, that's the other thing. The whole restaurant community has been very supportive of each other and been very helpful. We're just kind of going with it day by day. And again, just we have conversations with our teams and our managers and everybody. And we're like, you know, what's the best for our staff? And then what's the best for the community? And we just take it day by day like that. And just like I said, the community is so amazing. Everything else is again, what you just said about online, I think things are changing slightly. People are going to want to eat, are going to be more cautious, are going to like the idea of just picking it up. Mm-hmm. And then some need to get out. So okay. We just feel very good that we're there for them, and we believe that we're doing something positive and doing our best to keep everybody as safe as possible.
Okay, Jack, thank you very much. We'll let go. We wish you well with your businesses. Thanks for calling in and sharing your perspective.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ben.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Let's go back after hearing that to Dr. David Krupp, emergency physician, one of the organizers of Mask of Wellness. So your reaction to that, to Dr. Krupp, strong concern there for his wellness, his employees' wellness, and the patrons' wellness. That's the right attitude, isn't it?
I agree. Yeah, complete respect for the words he has, and I think that's resonates with a lot of thoughts of a lot of the business owners. They have concern themselves about potentially becoming infected, but want to do the right thing. We have caring hearts and don't want to spread this disease. And that's why these steps that people are taking and they're just helping promote that idea. And that's why we started with some of these impactful measures, and some businesses might not have been taking it. And Jack's doing a great job with what all the steps they're taking and the concern he has. But because of that fear, people have not been going out to businesses. So that's why we created this this process, and then we have a searchable directory. So as businesses start learning about Mask Wellness, they can sign up for free, and then they in turn will be part of the searchable directory, and they have a digital download kit so they can have a daily health login sheet as an example on what you can look for, what kind of symptoms, as well as some signage they can put on their doors to help promote their business, to help bring the consumer into the business. And in turn, by doing this, it's going to put some pressure upon those other businesses that are not taking the steps, that are not wearing the masks. And in turn, through the capitalistic process, we can in turn improve the wellness of the community by these additional businesses taking these steps to wear masks and ideally a shield in addition to help protect themselves if they're getting within that 6-foot range of their customers.
Okay. Let's make sure people know your contact information. Maskofwellness.com, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And it's all free. What you're asking people to do is just become informed, and you're heading it up as an emergency physician to make sure that business meshes well with health. And that will create wealth in our communities. That's the idea behind it. Maskofwellness.com to download the things that the Dr. Krupp just mentioned there. Let me go back to Jane Armstrong there. It's not hard to convince those who, like Jack, we heard, are very concerned about their wellness, their the people who come in there, Jane. What are your messages? How do we communicate to those who don't have the urgent sense that Jack seems to have there?
Well, I think most small businesses we're talking to definitely have it. Small businesses are concerned about not only customers, but their employees. And many in the small business environment, they're really like families. They really treat their employees like part of their family. You see that more and more often on the small business side. So I think that some businesses are, you know, I have a good friend who has a day spa that she's taking her time to open up, and she's planning, you know, she has been very responsible, you know, holding out at several more weeks beyond what the actual opening is for their business until she feels that it's a safer environment for her employees and customers. So there's a lot of small businesses that are taking those precautions, and certainly the restaurants have probably been the hardest hit, and we're seeing them do the same thing. I went out with a group of friends to support a local restaurant last Saturday. We ate out on the patio, but we were all spaced far away, and everybody had masks on and gloves and everything. So kind of an interesting time, but yep. I think that small businesses are definitely taking those precautions and are acting very responsibly.
Dr. Krupp, before we go back to our callers, tell us, do you have resources at maskofwellness.com that will help people decide? Because that, from talking to small business owners, it really is, when do I do it? What do I have to have in place in order to reopen? And how I reopen is so important, right?
Indeed. We do have a section on our website where they have some resources in regards to CDC guidelines and methods to take the steps to improve the hygiene of the area, as well as mask and health guidelines. As far as the individual business trying to determine when to open, it is challenging because we are likely going to be facing another spike here in the near future. One, as businesses open, two, as people's risk tolerance is increasing and the need to get out there. I think that with that alone, we're going to see a spike. And now with the individual protests and the gatherings and the lack of physical distancing that is occurring right now, we are unquestionably going to have a spike in cases coming up. And so it must be very challenging for the small business owner to decide when can they open and protect their employees as well as their consumers. But as far as direct guidelines to state how to and when to open, we don't have that directly on our website. That's something we're always looking for feedback. We have a place on our website where people can give advice and email us, and we're always open because we're here for the wellness of America and Iowa. Right.
and all right. for all.
Jane, very quickly, we're coming up on a break. You have resources you can direct our listeners to about that when and how to reopen safely?
Absolutely. The Small Business Administration has a network of resource partners that we fund to be the counseling and training arm of the SBA. So across Iowa, we have 15 small business development centers, 4 SCORE chapters, a women's business center, and a veterans business outreach center. And they all, several of them have gotten extra funding from the SBA through the CARES Act to help businesses with the transition and what they're going to need to open up. And they're providing a lot of counseling and training related not only to getting them through the pandemic, but what is it going to look like afterwards? The safety of your of the business, and also just trying to reposition the business so that they not only survive all this, but really position themselves to thrive as they come through the recovery period.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to our phones quickly before our break. Lauren is with us from the Quad Cities. Hi, Lauren. You're connected with what business? Welcome.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My family and I were part owners of a local dental office in Davenport, Iowa. And so obviously very risky as right. far as professions goes with COVID. And so we've been open for a couple weeks now, and we've just been so amazed. We've had less cancellations now than before. I think people are eager to get out, so they're even going to the dentist's office. But things look very different. We've got a lot more personal protective equipment. We've got face shields. We've got gowns. We've got N95s on every employee. No family members in the waiting room. People call when they get to the parking lot. But the thing I was most amazed by has really been our employees. They were eager to get back to work, not for the paycheck. Some of them were making more on unemployment, but they were eager to get back to work, really to take care of the patients. They were concerned about some of our root canals that were halfway done or implant work that was halfway done. And so it's just been really amazing to see the community come together in that way.
Okay, Lauren, it sounds like your employees' eagerness to get back speaks for the quality of your dental practice. Lauren in the Quad Cities, thank you for giving us your perspective.
Thank you.
Jane Armstrong, thank you for being with us, Iowa District Director for the U.S. Small Business Association. We appreciate your expertise and your views. And
thank you.
Thank you. And Dr. David Krupp will continue with us in the second half hour, emergency physician from Iowa City, helped organize behind the maskofwellness.com. That's a movement aiming to promote COVID-conscious business. So we're trying to mesh health and wealth in our communities by making sure our businesses get back on their feet in the best way possible. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. Back in just a moment.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Backcountry in Des Moines, a boutique that believes, as Twain said, travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. Located at 2702 Beaver Avenue, Backcountry curates clothing and gear for people who travel in mind now and in person soon.
And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. How will these marches and rallies for racial equality and against police brutality shape this campaign season? How will the violence shape our politics? Tomorrow on the program, Politics Wednesday edition of River to River, we'll have analysis from political scientist Rachel Caulfield of Drake University. Also, Joseph Jones of the Harkin Institute will be joining us. Of course, they'll also give us analysis of the primary election taking place today here in Iowa and 7 other states, as well as the District of Columbia, I believe. Politics Wednesday, tomorrow on the program. Today, we're talking about businesses reopening during this pandemic. More COVID-19 restrictions were lifted in Iowa yesterday in accordance with the orders issued over the past 2 weeks by our governor, Kim Reynolds. As of today, only 3 types of businesses remain closed by the governor's public health proclamation. Those are theaters that feature live performances indoors, including any indoor performance venue other than a restaurant or bar, indoor playgrounds and children's play centers, also adult daycare facilities and senior citizen centers. Those remain closed. Otherwise, Those businesses will remain closed through June 17th. That is, unless the governor decides otherwise. The prohibition on public gatherings of more than 10 people also expired yesterday. So this hour, we're talking about businesses reopening during this pandemic, how to do it well, and to protect employees as well as customers, patrons to these businesses. Our guest, Iowa emergency physician Dr. David Krupp, based in Iowa City. And Krupp and a group of volunteers recently organized maskofwellness.com. That's a movement to promote COVID-conscious business practices. He's been talking about those in the first half hour. We're inviting you as a business owner to share what it's been like and how you're reopening. Tell us how the pandemic has changed the way you operate. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. You can also email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Let's talk now with Jesse Sauerbry. He is the owner of the Lincoln Wine Bar in Mount Vernon. Jesse, welcome to our program.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Hey, I understand yesterday was the first reopening day for the Lincoln Wine Bar in Mount Vernon. Before we get to having you tell us what it was like, in the run-up to yesterday, I have to believe you as the owner were more than a little nervous. Is that true?
Oh, 100%, Ben. You know, when this all started, I was actually in Chicago when this all started, I had to call the restaurant and say, hey, we can only do takeout tonight, FYI. So it's been a nerve-wracking few months, you know, because we're not, we're really kind of not set up to be a takeout type of pizza joint. And so we got used to the takeout business, and then all of a sudden we're able to reopen the dining room, and we noticed that our takeout numbers have gone down, so we made the business decision to reopen the dining room. And that was pretty nerve-wracking weekend leading up to Monday yesterday.
Right, and you've been doing takeout, but I've been to the Lincoln Wine Bar in Mount Vernon, beautiful downtown Mount Vernon. But also the allure, as so many restaurants depend on the atmosphere of being there. So that's a real challenge when you turn to takeout only. So tell us about how it worked yesterday. It was your first day reopening. How did it go?
Last night wasn't too bad. You know, I put a couple of posts out on social media, and we got some great feedback. And so I was a little worried that we would be like too busy or there'd be too many people calling. But it actually worked out all right. We didn't have too many folks coming in. We only had, I think, about 15 to 20 guests that dined in all night long, and mm-hmm. then just a handful of takeout orders. But it was a really, I guess I kind of lucked out, because it was a great way to just get back into the motion of things.
Well, congratulations. And tell us, describe what's different now during this pandemic about your wine bar there. You can only have half as many people. You have to maintain social distance, right?
Yeah, man. You know, our occupancy is only 50. So if you include the employees that are here, usually our occupancy is only like 45. And if we take, you know, half of 50 is 25. We can only really have around 20 folks in the restaurant at one time. We've taken a handful of tables out of here. I took all the bar stools and put them downstairs. We rearranged the dining room. Everything is at least six feet apart. I've got hand sanitizer stations. It's such a small space. We've got three different hand sanitizing stations for customers and employees. It looks a lot different, but mm-hmm. it feels really clean.
Right. Hey, Jesse, you know, before we let you go, tell me, what did you learn on that first day opened? I imagine there's some fine tuning that needed to be done, some practices you're still working out.
Yeah. I mean, we're all wearing masks now, and so we've had to get used to that. It can be a little warm. We've got a beautiful Italian wood burning oven in here that heats the restaurant up quite a lot, so that can be a little warm. So we're just getting used to that. We've had to, like I said, move some things. It's just getting used to the new normal for right now.
Hope, I mean, quickly before we go, Jesse, we hope this doesn't last a long time, but I mean, just as a business operator there, is this sustainable for you in the long term, or is this just sort of a bridge to hopefully an era when all this is not needed?
This is definitely a bridge. This is in no means anywhere close to sustainable. We're just hoping that everybody does their part and try to get rid of this bug out of the circulation of the population as soon as possible. So a lot of us small business owners can get back to where we were at.
Okay, Jesse Sauerbrei, owner of the Lincoln Wine Bar in Mount Vernon. Thanks for giving us your views, Jesse. Take care.
Thanks, Ben.
River to River from Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. So, Dr. Krupp, we don't know what this will be like long-term, do we? We have to just go day by day, week by week, and hope a vaccine will inevitably happen. I think there's confidence in that. It's only when, right, Dr. Krupp?
Yes, there's plenty of indications a vaccine may be helpful, but as this is an RNA virus, there's a chance this could be with us longer than we want it to be. A lot of us have the desire for this to end in the next month and a lot of wishful thinking, but we're going to be in this for the bit of the long haul. We have to plan for numerous months with this situation, and for small businesses to make it through the next 6, 9, potentially 12 months, if depending on how the situation pans out, this could be quite a challenging affair for these small businesses. Right. So I think it's not just the businesses that have responsibility. I think we all do. We have the liberty to wear a mask or not. We have that choice in many areas. But yeah, with liberty comes responsibility. And if people understood that we can mitigate the spread of this by wearing masks in public when we're not physically distancing, and we can change this curve dramatically if we all do our parts as Americans. And right. it is a controversial topic, masks, and particularly in a lot of smaller communities. And unfortunately, there's a political division in regards to masks. But if one looks at some of the facts and just be logical, if you breathe on your glasses, there's moisture. That's potentially the virus coming out. Right. Just by saying the words, stay healthy, I'm transmitting numerous droplets out of my mouth that could be potentially spreading to others. And it's primarily droplet spread we're finding more and more. And so I think if we all did our part, we could change this curve and get back to what we would call a relative normalcy.
Right. And I know your organization is not political in any way, but you mentioned it there. There is that extra challenge because wearing a mask is now seen by some as a political statement. And also our president refuses to be a role model by wearing a mask. That's a challenge then to connect wellness with good business practices, isn't it?
It is. And that's why we've taken the angle that to bring about change, it has to be a grassroots from the people. As Americans, we often rebel against government restrictions. Many people do. And so that's why we've taken a positive, empowered approach and allowing the individuals to make the choice. But hopefully they don't just align because somebody else says they shouldn't wear a mask. They should find out for themselves.
Right.
And look at the facts on both sides and allow perspective and an open mind and not just use confirmation bias to try and just make the decision. But if we all do our part, as again, if we have liberty, we have responsibility. And so if we all do our part, we can change the curve.
Okay, very good. Let's go back to our phones. Doctor, let's go to Patrick in Iowa City, about 10 minutes left of our program. Patrick, thanks for waiting. Welcome. What business are you connected with?
I am the owner and operator of the Iowa Recovery Room here in Iowa City. We're a health and wellness spa focusing on float therapy as well as hot steam sauna, massage, cold water therapies, help people stress, de-stress and unwind, and just live happier, healthier lives in these stressful times.
And how has your business been going? Have you did you have to close down for a certain time, and have you reopened recently?
You bet. Yeah, we've been closed for the last 2.5 months, and we just reopened this last Tuesday. We've got a good handful of our members that were on with us prior to the shutdown here have started to trickle back in, but it's certainly going to be an uphill battle for the next several months. Unfortunately, with what we do, we're kind of a single-serve service center anyway, so we always have a very sanitary business and have people properly spaced out, but we've taken extra precaution in blocking off half of our schedule throughout the day to allow for that additional space and cleaning time as well.
Okay, Patrick, we wish you well. Thank you for giving us the view from your business in Iowa City. Thanks.
Thank you.
Let's go to Des Moines. Subana, I hope I got your name right. Subana?
Yes, sir.
Okay, please turn down your radio in the background a little bit if you can do that, and tell us, what business are you connected with?
I'm a massage therapist, and I have a clinic bang opposite the Mall Hill Mall for the last 9 years.
Okay, did you recently reopen, Subana?
Yeah, I opened about 10 days back, but massage being what it is, people are very supportive. The clients that I have for the past 9 years, 9.5 years, have been very supportive, but very wary of coming into the office and taking a massage. A couple of the younger clients have come in and enjoyed their massage, but the elderly people of a certain age are still thinking twice before entering the office. I do extra sanitizing of the entire area between massages so that they get more confidence that I'm doing my diligence.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I wanted to say was that people have been very supportive, and they've been calling me. I'm not exactly very young. I'm 65 myself. So they've been inquiring about my health, and they've been very supportive. That's what I wanted to just say.
Okay, stay with us, Subana, because I wanted to have Dr. Krupp here weigh on this. We've just had a couple of callers, Dr. Krupp, that involve businesses where there is necessarily contact. It happens, of course, with massage therapy as well. People have to, people are cautious. We heard that from Subana there. What should people weigh when they decide they want to support local businesses, go back to the massage practice that they used to, the restaurant that they used to? He talked about age here. How do we weigh as individuals when we can go back and support local businesses, as we all want to do?
Indeed. It is challenging for individuals to make that decision. It's somewhat of a risk tolerance, such as I can stay at home and not drive my car. There's zero risk, but if I drive my car, I have slight risk. But if I can wear a seatbelt, if I have that airbag working, and take measures. And so the customer can also take some measures to help protect the employees by wearing the masks. And there's more studies coming out now in The Lancet, and just had a great little review, as well as CDC's guidelines, that the customers can also take the steps to help protect the business owners and the employees. Because, as you know, a large proportion of the spread of this illness is from asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic people. So we all have to just assume, I might have this illness and I might spread it in the process. So it's a matter of harm reduction or risk tolerance at the same time. But yet, we're not well all staying at home. And depending on your underlying health conditions, you have to find that balance of risk tolerance.
Mm-hmm. And Subana, back to you in Des Moines with your massage practice, longstanding massage practice. Someone coming in for a massage, how is it different when you're employing all these safety measures? What is it like? Subana, are you there?
How many hours do you have? How many stops?
Okay, I guess Subana's tied up with something else there. Let's go back to Dr. Krupp. What else is your movement about here that we haven't mentioned? I guess it seems to me the message that you're getting across here, reinforcing guidelines by our governor, guidelines that are already out there and that we've heard now for a couple of months, but to drive home the idea, doctor, what I'm hearing is that good health practices result in good business, and good business means our communities can be wealthy again, and that we have as few as possible of our businesses go under, because as we just heard from one of our previous business owners, this currently is not sustainable.
Indeed. And if we continue in this way, the wellness is going to continue to be affected. And so by taking these steps by the business owners, as well as the consumers, we can decrease the spread of this illness. So I wholeheartedly support these businesses that are opening up in a COVID-conscious way. But yet, at the same time, as we're a group of volunteers doing this on the side, we're going to continue to expand our resources page, start putting videos out there. What is the consumer looking for? Because it's a matter of decreasing fear for the consumer, so they might choose a COVID-conscious business. At the same time, the business can learn how to decrease the chance of spreading it amongst their employees, staff, or to the consumer. And so currently, we do have some resources for guidance for small businesses from CDC guidelines or from OSHA guidelines on our website, and we're going to continue to expand that and create videos for might be electricians. And when they come into the home, these are the steps you can take to protect yourself as well as protect your customer, and in turn bring about more business to you. And the consumer will start seeking out COVID-conscious businesses because of that fear that is out there. We all feel it to a certain degree. And if we can decrease that fear and know that people are taking the steps, well, in turn, will help out these small businesses at the same time.
Right. And we have to keep in mind as well, don't we, Doctor, that this is COVID-19, SARS-2, this particular virus, but we will undoubtedly be facing whatever viruses in the future. It's great to have these practices at hand and make sure we can snap to attention, so to speak, in terms of hygiene when we're needed to do that.
Indeed, indeed. And so we're setting up practices towards this pandemic, as well as potentially this applies towards influenza, as well as potential future pandemics. We're lucky that this is primarily a droplet spread and not an airborne spread. And then there is some debate as to how much airborne component there is to this. But the spread that occurs in households is showing this is primarily droplet, as opposed to chickenpox or measles, where one individual would infect 20, 30 people or more, versus this virus where one individual might infect 2 to 3 on average. And so we have a bit more control over this virus and the spread of it because of the droplet transmission process, that it's, unfortunately, this might be a warm-up for the next pandemic that's airborne, where we have a serious issue.
Okay, let's go quickly to our phones. We only have a minute or so. Troy is with us in Iowa City, short of time, but we wanted to get you into this conversation. Troy, welcome to the program. What's on your mind? You have a medical question, actually.
Yeah. Yes. My question is if you've already had it and you can't give it to anybody, why should you wear a mask? There's no point. And everyone's going to get this virus at one time or another. If you're going to get it, or you're going to have a vaccine, and the vaccine's not going to come out for about a year still.
Okay. Troy, we've got the point there. Let's have our medical doctor react to what about that viewpoint there? Are you safe? Do we know enough about this virus to know that once you've had it, tested positive for it, you're good to go? You're not a threat to anyone.
Yeah, there is some debate on that, and I don't think we have enough science to say that definitively, because there is the potential for mutations, as with other coronaviruses, that you may acquire a different version and in turn potentially infect others. And so I think there is also a good practices measure. And the number of people that have truly had this, and it's definitive, and it's the symptoms and the tests was accurate, well, there is some validity to the concept, but yet that's the minority, and there's just not sufficient science to say one way or another at this time.
Okay. And quickly before we go, you mentioned face shields in addition to face masks. I've seen more and more face shields out there. Will face shields perhaps replace masks, be in addition to masks? Because they have certain advantages, don't they?
They do. It does protect the user a little bit more because then turn you're covering the eyes. And there are some studies and a recent article from the University of Iowa that was published in JAMA about the distancing and the benefit for protection. As far as preventing it, using it as a source control, there is not sufficient studies to support that face shield only. But the more people that will take measures to mitigate the spread, well, there are public health philosophies as to what would be optimum, but yet we are aligning with the CDC's guidelines at this time for masks for all. And again, it's properly fitted masks. because a mask that's not fitted well, you'll have to continue to touch your face, and there's potential for auto-inoculation where you might touch your eyes or your nose and in turn spread the virus to yourself or to others. Mm-hmm. So there are methods to allow a mask to fit optimally, and that's something we're going to be adding to our website on ways to optimize a mask and to mitigate the spread of the illness.
Okay, Dr. David Krupp, thank you for joining us. Let's get that website out there one more time. Guidance for businesses, a lot of it there, and it will be updated, as Dr. Krupp just said, maskofwellness.com. Dr. David Krupp, emergency physician from Iowa City, we appreciate you joining us this hour.
I appreciate it, Ben. Really appreciate what you do as well. Thank you.
Thank you. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us this hour and all the great calls.